We have mostly cloudy skies here in the Nishna Valley and 56 degrees your temperature. We look for some possible light rain in the evening with a high of around 68 here today. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of around 46. And then tomorrow we'll warm up to a high of 78. Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in state and local news on KJAN. The search for a missing man from southwest Iowa has tragically ended with his body being found following a motor vehicle accident in Oklahoma. 80-year-old Donald Eugene Gene Ripley was found in his van, which was located in a grove of trees about 100 to 150 feet down a steep embankment off I-35 north of Springer, Oklahoma, between mile markers 46 and 47. The van struck one of the trees. The accident remains under investigation by Oklahoma State Troopers. Ripley had been missing since the early morning hours of September 3rd when he left his son's residence in Uvalde, Texas, and was supposed to be traveling back to southwest Iowa. In other news, the Iowa Department of Transportation's Creston Construction Office reports that a project to replace the pavement and repair the shoulders on westbound Interstate 80 on either side of Cass County Road N28, the Wyota exit, will require lane closures and up to 13-foot lane width restrictions beginning on Monday, September 4th until November of this year, weather permitting. The Iowa DOT reminds motorists to drive with caution, obey the posted speed limit, and other signs in that work area. And, of course, you can find the latest traveler information always available through the Iowa DOT 511 system, whether that be through phone calls or the web browser or web app that you can download as well to find out that latest info. MidAmerica Energy has contacted Iowa environmental regulators to alert them of a sheen that was noticed on Mosquito Creek that appeared to be coming from a stormwater drain at the Walter Scott plant near Council Bluffs. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources said in a news release on Friday that booms and absorbent material were immediately deployed. An unknown amount of the unidentified substance entered Mosquito Creek. The company has a contractor at the site cleaning out the storm drain and stopping any further release. No impact was observed on the Missouri River and no dead fish were observed in Mosquito Creek. A man is in custody charged with murder following a stabbing early Friday morning in Sioux City. Sioux City Police Chief Rex Mueller says at about 1 a.m. officers responded to a reported assault at a home. And upon arrival, officers found a 37-year-old male and 43-year-old female who had sustained multiple stab wounds. Both were transported to Mercy Medical Center by ambulance. The man died. The chief says the woman suffered serious injuries. Police arrested 54-year-old Michael Anthony Landrum of Sioux City as he was walking three blocks away from the home where the victims had been found an hour before. Sioux City Detective Ryan Denny says Landrum and the victims knew one another. He said it's not random. Drugs and alcohol were a factor. Landrum is charged with willful injury and first-degree murder. It's the second murder in Sioux City this year. The Iowa Supreme Court has disciplined again a former Iowa prosecutor for professional conduct violations. The state's highest court suspended on Friday Jesse Martin's law license for 30 days. The Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier reports that Martin was the top prosecutor for Floyd County before his removal in 2010 for violating ethics rules. The latest ruling is the second disciplinary matter against him. The Iowa Supreme Court said it was most troubled by his willingness to provide knowingly inaccurate tax returns for his clients to give their bank in support of loan applications. State officials have granted Iowa City Schools a two-week extension to teach all of their classes online as the district seeks to avoid the spread of the coronavirus among students and staff. The state granted the request on Wednesday, the same day it received the request from the Iowa City Community School District, one of the largest in the state. School districts must request a waiver from the state in order to pursue 2 weeks of online-only classes and must show the positivity rate in their county is at least 15%. Iowa City School officials say that Wednesday that Johnson County's 14-day positivity rate had reached 20.4% as of Wednesday. Iowa State University students and dozens of 4-H and FFA members are part of a project to boost the amount of meat that is available through Iowa food banks and through food pantries. Iowa Lieutenant Governor Adam Gregg says the state's Pass the Pork and Beef Up Iowa campaigns were launched to address the increased demand that Iowa food banks have seen during the coronavirus pandemic, and they're trying to do what they can to help out that effort. And here's what they had to say about that addition, that work on that program that's been going on this year.
We anticipate that when all is said and done, that 100,000 pounds of ground pork will be delivered to Iowa's food banks. That's 400,000 servings. Well, over 50,000 pounds of that has already been delivered, with more coming here throughout the fall. On the beef side, 14,500 pounds of ground beef have already been distributed to the Iowa food banks. We believe when all is said and done that we will have processed 110 cattle, resulting in 55,000 pounds of ground beef, which is over 200,000 servings.
And Governor Reynolds authorized the use of federal coronavirus relief money to pay for the processing, which is being done at the meat lab at Iowa State University.
It allows the students to gain a learning experience while also impacting their community in a positive way. The other thing to note about that is the cattle and the hogs that are being purchased and processed are livestock that were raised and shown by 4-H and FFA kids that showed their livestock at the various scaled back county fairs and the state fair this year. So that provided a market for their animals and also gave us a way to support youth in agriculture while also helping food insecure Iowans.
And Greg is chair of the Feeding Iowans Task Force. Governor Reynolds created the task force in April after thousands of Iowans lost their jobs, and the food banks and food pantries in Iowa saw a 65% increase in applications for food assistance. The governor has approved $400,000 worth of grants to food banks in 51 counties for the purchase of refrigeration units. Greg says this is helping food banks accept increased donations from Iowa's egg industry as well.
And Iowa's egg industry plans to fill them up with eggs as well. Typically, the Iowa Egg Council and Iowa egg farmers donate 35,000 dozen eggs per month. And during the pandemic, they've increased that to 45,000 dozen eggs per month. That's over 500,000 eggs per month.
And the governor also has approved the purchase of $100,000 worth of turkey for distribution to Iowa food banks as well. The turkey was processed at West Liberty Foods. And Iowans are being encouraged to get their flu shots early this season, as the upcoming flu season, coupled with the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, could put a bigger strain on healthcare systems. Sally Jensen is an immunization nurse clinician with the Iowa Department of Public Health.
Healthcare systems could be overwhelmed treating both patients with flu and patients with COVID. So getting that flu vaccine this year is more important than ever.
And Jensen says it's still too soon to predict how severe this flu season could be. She says it's especially important for people with underlying conditions like diabetes, asthma, or cancer to get vaccinated. Jensen says the vaccine is widely available, but distribution might look a little different this year because of the pandemic.
There may be more drive-through clinics. It may look a little different at your doctor's office. They may not have as many walk-in appointments.
The flu vaccine is recommended for anyone over the age of 6 months. That's a look at some of the latest in the news. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here this morning. Diane Schulte Taylor, age 69, of Atlantic, formerly of Red Oak, died Sunday at Atlantic Specialty Care. Memorial services for Diane Taylor will be held today at 10 a.m. at the United Church of Christ in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Janice A. Lauritsen, age 78, of Audubon, died September 5th at the Exara Care Center. A celebration of life for Janice Lauritsen will be held on here today at 10 a.m. at the St. Patrick's Parish Center in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Judith Carol Nissen, age 84, of Harlan, died Sunday at the Elmcrest Assisted Living Facility. Memorial services for Judith Nissen will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Minden United Church of Christ. Polly Jones Funeral Home of Oka has the arrangements. Catherine Wagner Fitzgerald, age 75, of Stewart, died on August 31st at home. A memorial mass for Catherine Fitzgerald will be held on here today at 11 a.m. at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. That funeral will be streamed live beginning at 11 a.m. on the funeral home's website, and the family has elected not to have a luncheon following the services. And Bernice M. Mundorf, age 98, of Exira, died Monday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Bernice M. Mundorf will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Verlene Meisenheimer, age 91, of Greenfield, died on Tuesday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Verlene Meisenheimer will be held today at 1:30 p.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home Fontenelle has the arrangements, and they are requesting that masks be worn and social distancing practiced. There will be limited seating there at the church. And Daryl R. Whitehead, age 75, of Audubon, died September 6th at Thomas Rest Haven in Coon Rapids. Funeral services for Daryl Whitehead will be held today at 3 p.m. at the St. John's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.